Look at Joel, and over there, well, she said, Joel chapter 3, and I titled this The Battle of Armageddon, because it speaks of that thing. Let's begin by number chapter 3 of Joel. Let's begin reading verses 1, 2, and 3, beginning there together at verse number 1. For behold, in those days, and at that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations, and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them, and for my people, and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, and parted my land. And they have cast lots for my people, and have given a boy for a harlot, a girl for a quarter for wine, and that they might drink. All right, verse number 1. This chapter 3, even though it has a near fulfillment, probably looking at the Babylonian situation coming down in a couple hundred years, but also a far fulfillment at the Battle of Armageddon in the last days, that Joel participates in. He talks about what? What's he going to bring in verse number 1? What does he say he's going to bring? What is he going to bring? The captivity, again, of Judah and Jerusalem. So he's going to bring them back. And they were captives. And then in verse 2, what's he going to do? Gather all the nations. I see this is the far fulfillment, we believe, of the Battle of Armageddon, when they will gather the nations. Right there, as they come to Jerusalem, and from the east and the north and the south and the west, all here in Egypt, to the Battle of Armageddon. They gather all nations. Now, who's going to do the gathering? The Lord. Will the nations be willing to go down there to Jerusalem? Are some people in some nations even now angry at the Jews? Yes. Who's angry at the Jews? What nation? Everybody. Iraq is? Mid Eastern countries. Iran? Egypt?
Even many in the United States.
Many in the United States hate Israel. They really do.
And in the
church
as well.
The churches. That's right. Some of the churches don't like it.
They read their Old Testament.
They read their Old Testament, right, see? So, you remember that man in Iran, the head man, who wants to drive them into the sea. So the nation they're going to gather, they hate Israel. And of course, this is in the last days. Now, they're gearing up for it now. The Lord delivered Israel in the 5 days, 6 day war, whatever, in different other times. He just delivered them amazingly. But what's going to happen now with Iran, with their nuclear power and different things? It doesn't take much. In fact, someone was interviewing, I think it was Greta, Channel 66, Fox News. She was interviewing the defense minister of Jerusalem and of the Jews in Israel. And she asked him point blank, what are you going to do with Iran? Are you going to let them build their atomic weapon and their atomic bomb and come over to get you? He said, well, he's very careful what he said. They said, are you going to listen to the United States? That was the question. Are you going to listen to the United States, who ordered you not to bring any more build any more settlements on the wherever it is, in Gaza or wherever, in the Gaza Strip? And he said, we have buildings already started. Before there's any push for that, he said, well, they've already begun. And we're going, how can our country say to Israel that they shouldn't build up things to strange things? But he was very cautious. And he said, I realize the ambassador wants to do this and this and this. But he said, it won't be years before we do so, it'd be months before we're going to have to handle it. For the terror of Iran to wipe them off the sea. So pray for Israel. But one day, at the end of the time, when the tribulation is about to begin, I will gather all nations. Where is he going to bring them? What is it? Verse 1? Verse 2? All right, Valley of God. Now that's north of Jerusalem. See, Jerusalem's here. There's a valley of Ezra'ela, as it's called. The valley of Jehoshaphat. I can't see it on this little map. Got a bigger map, but that's the north of Jerusalem, and that's where the Battle of Armageddon is. And the word, Hebrew word Armageddon, comes from two Hebrew words. Do you know what they are? Har is the hill of Megiddo. The hill of Megiddo, the Armageddon. That's what it means. So that's where the valley of Jehoshaphat is, and right there in that northern part of Jerusalem, he's going to gather into Jehoshaphat. What's the Lord going to do there in verse number 2? By the way, questions at BFTBC or call us at 856-261-9018. Those that are listening, just call and say we're listening, and if you have a comment or question, go ahead, or just call us. Glad to hear you if you're listening. What's he going to do? What's God going to do there? Plead for his people. Why are you supposed not to plead for his people? what is it? They're going to try to get them and kill them, and he's pleading for them. He wants to help them, his heritage. In what way is Israel God's heritage?
Because he's God's own people, and he took him as his own.
He took him as his own? Fine, he said
something. Well, he has everything invested in him, and that's what the Savior came
for. Savior came for Israel. He's what? Well, that's the Savior, the Messiah. Yes?
I just have a question.
Yes.
How would the Lord not plead for them because he's God?
Well, plead that they would plead with them for their people. In other words, with them on their behalf, that they would straighten out and they would follow him. See, in essence, plead for them. Now, he's going to take care of the request because may they follow him, be obedient to him, and do what he says to do, the heritage. In the New Testament, who's the heritage? The believers, the saved people, the Christians, that's right, those that are saved, born again. We're God's people. He's got an earthly people, Israel, he's got a heavenly people, the church, the believers, the saved people, born again people. And why is he going to plead? What has the enemy done to Israel in verse 2? Scatter my name, what else? Who is my land? What is it, my land? What land is that? Promised land, which is what?
All of
it. Broken up now. It was huge to start with. And at the United Nations, 1840, they had this one, and now this one, now this one. Everybody's trying to take everything away from God's land. They have parted my land. And President Bush was all in favor of parting the land of Israel. And President Obama the same. He's going to go right along with it and part the land. And give the Arabs a lot of Jews, the Jews' land. See, it's not Christian, it's not both these parties. Democrat and Republican both. Parting the land, splitting it up. And that's a horrible thing.
And they do it for peace, and there will be peace.
There's no peace. The thing about it is, if indeed the Arabs, the Palestinians, would be peaceful, you could have a two-state solution. But they're not peaceful. They want to kill Israel and wipe them off. And Israel's not going to take this two-state solution with that. And they've said that many times. If they will be peaceful, that's fine. But if they won't, that's not fine. And so there's
there'll
be no peace, that's right. And so the part of the land. So God's going to have to step in at the end time, in the tribulation period, in this battle of Armageddon. He will take care of that. Yes, Anna?
Yeah, there'll be no peace. This was 5:3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, and thereupon a little time
shall not escape. Shall not escape. When they say peace, peace. That's very good. Verse to refer to 1 Thessalonians 5. And verse number 3, what have the heathens done? Now this could be a near fulfillment. What have they done here? Cast lots. What is a lot? What does that mean, cast lots? What is it? Looks like a gambling,
like rolling dice
and so on. The winner will take the pick and so on.
I would think of the straws.
Drawing straws.
There's a reference to that in the
Bible. Yeah,
God
be.
Did tell them to do that.
Drawing straws.
The straw.
Yes. They cast lots for the one to replace Judas. Remember? How many people do they have in the lot? Just two. And one, just whoever it was, how do you know that either was the one that was going to replace Judas, his disciple? Yes, Anna?
They also cast lots for the land.
For the land?
Yeah, and Joshua, didn't they?
Well, they did divide the land. I don't know where they cast lots, but they did divide the land among the different 12 tribes. Different. Well, I think it was Israel's lot. They had the lots here, the lots there. And also they cast lots for Jesus' coat. Remember? The coat and the garments. And the soldiers cast lots. So it means to sort of guess, just a chance type of situation. Cast lots. What did they cast lots for here? People. A boy for a harlot? Is it trading them off? A girl for a little bit of wine? They might think, in other words, making manifest and making merchandise of boys and girls and just selling them off. And that's rampant today all over our world, the way people are doing. But this is what the enemy has done to Israel. Got to be. Yes, ma'am?
Did that happen during the old time, or is it going to happen?
Well, it could be what the Babylonians will happen when they take over in 150 years from now, or it could be the last time, the last days too. That's maybe what they're going to do to Israel. The full fulfillment, a partial fulfillment as well as a near fulfillment. We're not clear on it. But it acts as if it's past, but a lot of things in prophecy act like it's past, but yet it's still future. So that's what's going to happen, or has happened. Well, let's read verses 4, 5, and 6 together. Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all the coasts of Palestine? Will ye render me a recompense? And if ye recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? Because ye have taken my silver and my gold, and have carried into your temples my goodly present things, the children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have ye sold unto the Grecians, that ye might remove them far from their own border. All right, verse number 4. What I do to Tyre and Sidon. Where's Tyre? Where's Sidon? That's north of Judah. Here's Tyre and here's Sidon. Those are cities that were where they had a battle not too long ago, the Tyre and Sidon, and Israel won over it, but these are heathen nations, all the coasts of Palestine. The Palestinian coast, that whole coast, apparently, is going to be involved and affected in this particular prophecy. Will you render me a recompense? What is a recompense?
Payback.
All right, a payback, a recompense, paying me back. And if you recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? What's God going to do? Pay them back for what they've done that is evil? He will do that. Will he pay them back unjustly or justly? Justly, yes. Questions at bftbc.org. Give us an email or simply call us 856-261-9018. Now, if you're listening, have a comment or question. And then notice, what has the heathen done to Israel in verse 5? Silver and gold. If a heathen comes over to the United States of America, could they take any of our silver and gold?
No.
Where is it? We don't have it.
Well,
you may have silverware, a little gold trinket. Our United States of America has gotten zero paper money, which is worthless. Remember the Civil War, Continental Army, they printed off money. And
did you say Civil War and Continental Army?
Well, all right, pardon me. The Civil Army, the Confederate Army, Matt Majors in history. The Confederate Army, remember they printed money? And was that money worthwhile or was it not worth? It became worthless. And that's what the expression is, not worth the Continental.
Wait, no.
It's the Civil War. So, what?
Revolutionary War. The Continental Congress
kept
issuing money.
Paper money.
It was a big mess.
Big mess, okay. But in the Civil War. Okay, but in the But the Civil War did the same thing. We've been over this thing before when we covered that subject. She corrected me the same way. I made the same mistake. But in the Civil War also, the South, the Confederate Army, not worth a Confederate. How about that? A better? They printed money, it was worthless. So but here they've taken God silver and gold.
Probably see that in their future.
Yes.
What
did they do? It is getting out. That's exactly what they do. That's wheelbarrows to buy a loaf of bread, of money. In fact, some have said in the year 2000, our dollar has gone down 20%. 2000, as of 2000 to the present. It keeps going down and down and down. And pretty soon, you can't but help but go down if you print out the trillions and trillions of paper money, which is the Federal Reserve System has been doing in this country. Just printing out pretty fresh money. And pretty soon, instead of paying a dollar for something, you pay $2 or $3 or $4. In other words, just inflation, hyperinflation. But they took the gold and silver. What did they do with it? The heathen, for God's, in verse number 5. Took it into the temples, and my goodly pleasant things. All the things he took into the temples. Remember when God took away the Babylonians, when they came in to invade, and they, as we see in Scripture, and they're going to come here, they took all the silver and the gold and the brass and all the expensive things, took it over to Babylon. And then what happened when Ezra and Nehemiah came back to the land? What happened to those things? They brought it back because the Israelites, the heathens. The king was brought, yes, Sammy?
Well,
the church, Nebuchadnezzar, he put them in the temple, but then his son or his grandson, I don't remember, he brought it out. I mean, he was the first one to bring it out of their temple and actually use it as sort of a mocking of God.
Mocking? Belshazzar, is that?
Yeah. And
the feast of Belshazzar, what do we know about that? What do we know about that feast of Belshazzar? He was using the temple cups to drink wine, getting all drunk, and God had enough of it. So what did God do? He sent the writing on the wall. Did you like the man's hand writing? What does the man's hand say in that? Well, a miracle. They were afraid.
Meaning,
tekel, verse. What does that mean? Which means what?
Weight and balance,
pound welling. And I've numbered your kingdom, I've weighed the balance, and pounds. In other words, and then
numbered, weighed,
and then pound wine. And so Babylon was then to be ruined, and the whole thing was smashed apart because they've taken God's vessels, huh?
And that's his time, and that was the Ahasuerus, when he had his feet, they were drinking out of beautiful, unique golden cups.
Yes.
But there were a whole lot of people that feast, but I wondered if it was from the temple, or something else.
Maybe something else was
that
thing. That's the speech. Yes?
Is that where that phrase came from, the handwriting on the wall?
Yes, that's exactly right. We're seeing the handwriting on the wall. Tammy?
You had asked, did he give it to Zerubbabel?
He gave the rule to whatever Israelites want to go back, and then they took all the vessels that they'd stolen and gave them back to them. I don't remember which one. Probably Zerubbabel or Ezra, Nehemiah themselves, and brought all those vessels back. Because that king, God used that unsaved, godless king, put in his heart, take the people of Israel, put them back to their land after 70 years of captivity. So they've taken the silver, the gold. And then the children also of Judah and Jerusalem, in verse 6, they sold them to the Grecians. What is the order of captivity?
They're children.
Yeah, they don't care. Just for money. And they do it today. You know, it's terrible. Different ones, different nations, selling children.
In verse 3, was it that was selling my people, that
was
Israel. They,
yes,
referring to the other nations.
Yeah, the other nations. Cast lots for my people. That's right, the other nations. And
so this one, they're actually
children of Judah, that's right, have he sold unto the Grecians. The other nation have sold unto the Grecians to move them far from their border. What is the order of the big image?
Babylon
first.
Persia
first or second. Greece,
then
Rome. That's the order. And so it's one of the Grecians. Or it could be a reference to Babylon and the Grecians. Or the Grecians could be involved even in the early times, not necessarily only when the empire came, but in other places. It's one of the Grecians. They're moving them far from the border. Now let's read verse number 7, 8, and 9 together. Behold, I will raise them out of the place where ye have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head. And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the Sabaeans, the people far off. The Lord has spoken them. Proclaim me this, O Gentiles, prepare war. Wake up the mighty men, that all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. All right, verse number 7. God is going to raise them out of the place where he has sold them. Who is the them? Which children?
Children of Israel.
So he's talking to the heathen nations that have scattered his people. I'm going to raise them up. And you know when Israel in 1948 went back to became a nation, went back into Palestine. They're not believers as far as the Bible. They're just a lot of them secular. But it's amazing how God put in their heart to go back to that land, isn't it? And a lot of people don't believe that those are Israelites. And if, you know, these British Israelite people think that they're not Jews. We're the Jews, the white and Anglo-Saxon people. That's a crackpot notion that many teach that. But God put in their hearts, even though they're not really back loving him. Now, there's some that are Orthodox, but most of them are just superficial. In fact, the matter is, our guide, where my mom sent us away to me over there in the 1980s, many years ago, he said that probably of all the Jews that are there, probably there's a 1%, a very small percentage, that are really religious. The rest of them are just political. Zionists, I mean, just out that's their land. It's amazing how the Lord put in their hearts to go back to that land. And the others are going to wait till when the time comes, God's going to put in their hearts, especially the millennium time, they're going to all go back to their land. That's the land that God gave to them. And the nations that are there, these Arabs, they don't have a right to the land. Israel had the land to start with. They came in and infiltrated and tried to knock out the Israelites. It's that. Go ahead. Jews in this country are helping Israel. They are. They're giving them money. That's how they get the tanks and the guns and everything to defend themselves. And so, you know, whether Israel attacks Iran before they get the nuclear bomb to obliterate the Jews, which they're intending to do, they want to drive them to the river, to the sea. You know, Israel, I don't believe when the time comes, cares whether the United States of America and President Obama with his peaceful type of things like it was in the Iran riots, you know. He just waited and waited. He finally said, oh, this is an outrage. Killing and shooting and knifing, shooting people in the face and that young girl. But when the time comes, Israel may have to act unilaterally, actually. You know, I have just one. And, you know, I don't know. If they do get the atomic bomb and they get the method to deliver it, Iran, and they're making it, they continue to make it, or North Korea, whatever it is, serious things will happen. See, they're trying to get these long-range missiles in Iran and in North Korea, rather, different things. So, Israel may have to act on its self-defense. And whether Obama cares about it or whether he doesn't, they're going to have to, and I hope the Jews in this country will help their own people, and they will. They'll give them whatever it takes to do. Nobody likes war or anything, but I tell you, when you think of atomic weapons, upon anybody, not just Israel, but on the whole area, the whole land, north and south and east, it's a mess. So he's going to raise them out of the place for your soul and return your recompense. He's going to get even. God's going to get even with these heathen people that have hurt their people. And then verse number 8, what's he going to do with the sons of the heathen people? Sell them to the children of Judah, to the Sabaeans, far off. He's going to recompense those that are mean and ugly and harmful. Sabaeans are up there in the desert. They're one of the ones I think that came in Job's time. The Sabaeans came and took away some of the animals. Go ahead, Anna. What do you got?
Job 1, verse 14.
All right.
And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the ox will plow and the ass is sitting beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the children with the edge of the sword, and I am only escaped from all brutality.
So these are, yes, Satan?
They're sort of desert
nomads? I think a desert nomad type of people, yes. Questions at bftbc.org. Give us an email or 856-261-9018 and tell us you're listening. You have a comment or question. So then, yes, Anna?
And also in Ezekiel 23:42. And a voice of a multitude being at ease with us, and with the men of the common sort will walk the means from the wilderness to place upon their hands. This is in reference to
Hola and Holabah. Hola and Holabah, okay. The northern tribe and the southern tribe. Okay, hold on. So it sounds to me, then in verse number 9, we read 9, did we not? Did we read 9? Six, seven, eight. I guess we didn't read 9. 6, 7, 8. Did we read 9?
1, 2, 3.
4, 5, 6.
7, 8, 9.
Okay, you're right.
Thank you, Dan.
Got to get our mathematics up here. What does he say? What does God say about these heathen nations now? What does he say in this verse number 9?
Prepare for war.
Right? The Gentiles to prepare war.
It's a mighty man.
Now, what are they going to do to prepare for the war?
They're
going to
bring up all
the men of
war. They're
going to come up. The mighty men. So, the fire will come up in the Battle of Armageddon. He's going to have everyone prepare for war. And how our president could think that people are going to be all peaceful, how he can disarm the United States of America, take all of our atomic weapons, and go over to Russia. He's going to go in the next few weeks or months and say to this man over there, disarm all your weapons, we're going to disarm us, and they're not going to disarm anything. If we're weak, he's taken already the East Coast and the West Coast missiles. He's knocked off a certain type of attack bomber, because so that was just against Russia, and Russia's no longer... Yeah, but what I'm saying, he's taken off some of these bombers that are no longer, so that's only when Russia was bad at us. Now Russia's flying peaceful. They're not flying peaceful. They're armed to the teeth and they're going to take us over if they can. And?
We need to make known all these things that are being taken away. Since we are on the internet, we shouldn't probably making it widespread
than known. Widespread than known? Well, everybody knows it anyhow. Might as well widespread
than
known.
That's the problem. We shouldn't be talking about it.
Why not,
Anna? Because the media shouldn't be talking.
The media are listening to us. They're controlling the president.
Well, this is a big mess. Why are we telling the enemy what we're doing?
Well, the enemy already knows what we're doing. See, the enemy's forced us to do it. They've managed to prodded us to disarm ourselves as if it's peace. But here, God tells them to prepare for war. All will men of war draw near and come up. Let's read verse number 10, 11, and 12 together. Beat your plowshares in the sword, and your pruning hooks in the spear. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves, and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened, and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Find verse number 10. How are they to prepare for war? What does God tell them to do? Beat their plowshares in the sword. Is there an opposite to that somewhere?
Isaiah 2:4 and chapter 4:3.
Okay, what does it say there?
Isaiah 2:4, and he shall judge among the nations. This is in reference to the Lord. Judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into plinthers. Nations shall not look up toward against nations, neither to any more nor any more. And also Micah 4:3, which says, and he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares. And there's spirit in between those nations come out and lift up a sword against nations, and they shall no more anymore.
So the opposite of that, in a peaceful time, when one day God did a millennial reign of Christ, thousand year reign of Christ, they will beat their swords into plowshares. But here, the plowshares and swords, and pruning hooks. And so the opposite is there, yeah?
Well, I think one of those is on a statue near the United Nations building.
Uh-huh.
And the man is beating whatever instrument he has into whatever weapon he has into one of these farming tools.
Farming tools, yes.
But the problem is, that's not going to happen until your 3:10 happens first.
There's going to be peace from the Lord.
The United Nations wants to forget Joel 3:10 and just automatically hop to Isaiah 2:4, and they want to leave God out, but that's not going to work.
It will not work until they've got out, but peace will only come when the Prince of Peace is reigning out of Jerusalem, and that's the only time. There's war all over the world. There's no ever time that they completely had their freedom from war. Everybody's rising up somewhere, not one place or another. But here, and it says that, and at the time of the great wave, not quite through, but in the millennial, or rather the Battle of Armageddon, the plowshares will be beaten into swords, wounded hooks and spears, weak stab strong. I'm going to stop right here, but next week we'll take it up. Yeah, go ahead, Bob. At the weak stand, I'm strong, because if they're weak, they're going to have swords, now they're strong, see? Because they're going to have the strong areas. Yes? Yeah?
But this could be a problem, though, because the weak are saying they're strong. I mean, unless they're relying upon the Lord, this is going to be a downfall.
That's true. But when the plow shows up, when
it's taken for the contact.
But if the plowshares will beat into swords and put it into spears, those that are weak in themselves, when they have these weapons, they will be strong, even though in themselves they be weak. Yeah.
But the new won't be strong because...
Well, it's what God says, let the weak say, I'm strong.
No, it says let the weak say, I am strong, it does not mean that.
Well, let them say. Yeah, Tammy?
Could they be strengthened though by Satan?
Yeah, they could be strengthened by Satan, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Prepare war, that's part of the thing that's going to happen, and in the Battle of Armageddon, of course, there will be a lot of swords play, and of course, in those days, they'll probably have tanks and guns, and the swords and the spears are simply indicating the weapons will be there. Any other comments or questions before we close tonight? All right, now let's close in with a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we don't know when this is going to take place. I was told that thou wilt one day gather the nations, the valley of Jehoshaphat, there in the valley of Megiddo, the hill of Megiddo, for Armageddon's battle. And we know that Israel will be spared. We thank you. Thy people will be spared from all the heathen that are trying to throw them into the sea and kill them and murder them. So we ask thee, Lord, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Thou hast told us in thy word to do this, that we may know and not give them over to the heathen, as men in our government are trying to do many times, other governments trying to push them. So give them peace, Lord, and may they turn to their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved as they look unto Him. We ask the Lord for blessings upon our services on the Lord's Day. We thank you for the folks that have come tonight and those listening by other means. Continue to use us and meet our needs, wherever they may be, for spirit, soul, and body. Thou knowest. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. All right, thank you for coming.